The IRS says religious groups can endorse political candidates without losing their tax-exempt status. That policy change came in a court filing this week and breaks with decades of precedent. Jack Jenkins from Religion News Service is with us to tell us more about this. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
So what prompted this change?
So this started from a court case that was filed last year when two Texas churches and the National Religious Broadcasters Group filed a lawsuit against the IRS. The goal was to overturn a part of the U.S. tax code known as the Johnson Amendment, which gets its name from the guy who created it back in 1954, Texas politician and future U.S. President Lyndon B. Johnson. The provision essentially bars nonprofits, including churches and houses of worship, from endorsing candidates. And if they do, they risk losing their tax-exempt status.
What did the IRS say in this court filing that changes this policy?
So it was part of a settlement proposal between the parties, and the IRS argues that endorsements delivered to a congregation are just fine. The agency likened it to, quote, a family discussion concerning candidates. The IRS said endorsing a candidate isn't the same thing as participating or intervening in an election, which is barred by the Johnson Amendment.
So what have you been hearing from religious groups about this change?
Well, some conservative Christian organizations have celebrated it, and that makes sense. Many have long opposed the statute barring endorsements and argued that it infringes on their religious liberty. Evangelical leaders actually pushed President Donald Trump to do away with the provision during his first term, and he did eventually sign an executive order designed to limit its power. But this is not a popular idea, even among religious groups. A recent Public Religion Research Institute poll found that no major religious group approves of letting faith leaders endorse from the pulpit, and that includes white evangelicals. That might be why Rabbi Jonah Dov Pesner, head of the Union for Reform Judaism, condemned the IRS's shift. He argued that it weakens the separation of church and state, which he said allowed, quote, diverse religious communities, including our own, to flourish.
So this decision comes from a Republican administration, obviously, but could it benefit Democrats as well?
It could. Actually, a 2016 Pew Research study found that black Protestants who typically vote for Democrats were actually the group most likely to hear an endorsement from the pulpit, whereas just 4% of white evangelicals in that election reported hearing their pastor speak in favor of a presidential candidate.
So given that, how much might this change in policy actually change what's already happening in some churches around the country?
So it may not change much because the Johnson Amendment is rarely enforced as it is, even when it's directly challenged. In fact, a conservative Christian group used to organize an event called Pulpit Freedom Sunday every year, where thousands of pastors would record themselves endorsing someone from the pulpit in a sermon and then mail that to the IRS, and the agency rarely responded. So lots of other faith leaders also already endorse candidates. They just say they're doing it in their personal capacity. Now, critics are worried that this is a slippery slope that could end up with churches raising money for candidates. But since so many faith leaders already endorse, this move by the IRS may not dramatically alter election season on its own.
That is Jack Jenkins of Religion News Service. Jack, thank you.
Thanks for having me.